If you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 20. We're going to wrap up a series today, a series that we've called Prophet, Priest, and King. Hopefully you have drawn something out of the series. This has been a blast to prepare for, a blast to preach. I've loved the feedback on it, some things that individuals have not understood, helping to connect the Old Testament, the New Testament together. It's been fantastic. And one thing I've loved, especially over the past couple weeks, really over the past month, we've gotten a ton of guests that have come through, which has been tremendous. I've met people from other countries. I've met people from different states that have moved in, people that are looking for churches. And to K First Family, thank you for providing an atmosphere and a place for people to come, not just experience the presence of God, but just to feel welcome and to be a part of a community. So thank you for doing that. And if you're brand new, my name is Pastor Dave. I'm the lead pastor, and I'm so excited to be here. I tell you this, my wife and I, we do travel a bit, and we do a lot of different speaking things around our state, and we just got back yesterday from doing a marriage conference, and we say it every single time. We love ministering to other congregations and other groups, but this is our favorite people in the whole world. So we love you so much. We love being here. It is an absolute blast. Would you stand with me for the reading of the word today? Something that we didn't have in video announcements. We want you to do mark your calendars. The first, Saturday of April. First Saturday, we're going to do a church work day on the grounds. We're just going to start doing some spring cleanup and some things. So if you mark your calendars, first Saturday, I think it's the 6th of April. And we do have a rainout date, but mark your calendars. Join us, join the staff, join the leadership. We would love to have you come out, and we're just going to work in the morning and do what we can to transform the look and get ourselves ready for the spring, which I think has already sprung. Nevertheless, Matthew chapter 20. We're going to go to verse number 20. 2020. What a terrible year. 2020. That slipped out. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee, came up with him, with her sons. Kneeling before him, being Jesus, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" And mom said, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit on your right hand and on your left hand in the kingdom." Some of you moms favor your kids way too much. Jesus, just tell me that my two kids are your favorite kids of all of the kids in all of the world. And Jesus answered, "You did not know what you're asking. If this was the 80s, it would be, 'What are you talking about, Willis? Are you able to drink? Are you able to drink of the cup that I am to drink?'" And they said to him, "We are able." And he said to them, "You will drink of my cup, and but to sit at my right hand and my left hand, I can't read this morning, is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. No kidding. 12 people traveling with Jesus, and two of them get their mom to talk to Jesus. And Jesus called them, saying, "You know, the rulers of the Gentiles lord over, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great amongst you must be your servant. And whoever would be the first amongst you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." We're going to talk about power. We're going to talk about authority. We're going to talk about Jesus being the one true King. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the morning, for the opportunity to focus on who you are and to bring us to a place where we can receive from your presence. Open our eyes to give us understanding. Open our ears to hear what you would want to speak. Open our hearts that you would do some transformative work so that when we walk away from this place, we are different creatures than the ones that walked in. To your glory and to your honor, in your name we pray. And everyone said, give someone an awkward high five before they're seated. What's she talking about, Willis? When you think about conspiracies, when you think about royal scandals, political issues, dictator-style leadership, what do you think of? Don't say Pastor Dave. We think of lots of different things. It seems like just in the past week, 2 weeks, like we can think of what's in the news. The royal family's been in the news. We've got an election coming up, so we've got the State of the Union has been in the news for the past week and a half. We've got politics. We've got the election coming up that's constantly in front of us. So when we think about those things, we don't have to really think that far off from where we are at, but it's something that happens around the world as we see problems happen with people in authorities, with people abusing their authority, not knowing their limits or recognizing their limits or even embracing their limits. But when we also look at the scripture and we see the governments and the people in authority, we realize that biblical history is no different from our current moment right now, especially when you look at the ancient kings of the Old Testament. In fact, if you look in the Bible, there are 43 monarchs that helped rule Israel in the time of the monarchy. There were 42 kings and one queen. If you don't know where that queen is at, it's Athaliah in 2 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. She took over for her son and reigned 7 years. But when you read especially 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, you get a massive snapshot of a lot of the kings that came beyond King Saul, beyond King David, and beyond King Solomon, who are the big, kind of the big three that everybody knows about. But we get, and we're going to learn about it this summer, a mess of kings that came through exercising their authority. And it all began in the time of around 11 BC. We're talking all the way into the Bible around the book of 1 Samuel. And this is when Israel came to Samuel, and they began to beg Samuel to give them a king. Because up until that point, Israel had no king. They wanted to be like the other nations and the other and have monarchs over them. Because at that point, there were judges, and there were people that were corrupt and abusing their power, and they simply wanted a king. And so 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4 says, "Finally, the elders of Israel met at Ramah to discuss the matter to Samuel. Look, they told him, you are now old." Isn't that great to hear? "And your sons are not like you. Give us a king to judge us like all of the other nations have." One translation says, "Help us to be like the other nations." Now, granted, when you look at that, the other nations didn't have God as their God. And yet they looked around and they said, "We just want to be like everybody else. Why can't we be like everybody else?" And so God said this, 1 Samuel 8, 7 through 9. "Do everything they say to you," the Lord replied, "for they are not rejecting me, for they are rejecting me, not you. They don't want me to be their king any longer. Ever since I brought them out of Egypt, they have continually abandoned me and followed other gods, and now they are giving you the same treatment. Do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about the way a king will rule over them." He gives them a heads up, and if you read further in the chapter, Solomon lays it out. This is what's going to happen. If you want an earthly king and you want to be like everybody else, you got to expect he's going to give you taxes. How many are thankful for taxes? Nobody? Just not me? Wasn't raising my hand in agreement. But he's going to tax you. He's going to demand things of you. He's going to take land from you. These are the things that are going to happen if you want an earthly king. And so God had this expectation over kings of that day, and they were threefold. First of all, they were expected to observe God's covenant and law. That was the expectation. They were expected to defend the nation of Israel. They were expected to rule people with justice and righteousness. And as we find out and figure out throughout Scripture is when humans are in charge, that human beings will many times be human. Because God designed Israel to be what's called a theocracy. Like, we know what democracy is, where everybody gets a say and we vote. And by the way, we're not a democracy in America. We're a republic. We vote for the people who vote for the laws. We don't vote for the laws. Some of you are like, who started that? Well, we got to go back to the founders. But Israel wasn't a democracy. It wasn't a republic. It's what's called a theocracy. And a theocracy is a form of government in which God is recognized as the supreme ruling authority, giving divine guidance to human beings who manage the government's daily affairs. In other words, God is the king, and he had prophets that he would speak to the prophets, and they would give guidance to the people. But for the people, as they were done dealing with, they were done dealing with God, they wanted a king. And they wanted to look like the other nations because the other nations could say, here's our king. Because when they thought king, we have power, we have authority, we have identity. But when we see Israel, we don't see that person in charge. We don't see that man or that woman in charge. And therefore, they're not as good or they're not on that level as us. And God's like, listen, you're on a different level because you're a theocracy. They said, we don't want that. We want to look powerful. When you think about power, what comes to mind? Quite honestly, electricity. That's the first thing that pops up in my mind. And when I think about electricity, I think about years ago. It's about 18 years ago or so. All of our family was over at my parents' house, and we're talking in the living room. And all of a sudden, it's like the lights dimmed, like went down and went back up. And my mom goes, oh, there's a power surge. And that's not what I said. I said, where's my son? And I go into my parents' bedroom. He's pulled off the child little protection, and he's got an earring of my mom's and sticking it into the light socket. Well, don't you trust him? No, I know me, because that would have been me. When I think of power, that's what comes to mind. But I want you to understand something. When Israel thought about power, they wanted a king. And when I think about power this morning, can we give it a very simple definition? I'm going to give you three words. When I think of power, I think of position, authority, and influence. And I want you to understand that every single one of us in this room and every one of us, every single person watching online, we all have power. We all got power. We all have positions or authority or influence. You're like, well, I don't have a title. But you have a position in the family. You might have a position in the workplace. You might have a position with friendships. I've learned this, that when I've got people that are friends of mine that are not Christians, automatically I am the authority on everything that is God. Or you're the pastor. Sometimes they don't know I'm a pastor right away, but they know I'm a Christian. So therefore, well, I've got a question about God. You are the one in authority, just by nature of my identity as a Christian. There's position, authority, influence. Every single one of us have that. We have influence in people's lives, influence to people's hearts. We have positions that we carry in the workplace. We have titles that sometimes are placed upon our heads. We all have some sort of power, and we have to ask the question of what are we actually utilizing that power for? And what we see in Matthew chapter 20 is Matthew chapter 20, if you read the entire discourse of the chapter, you'll read that Jesus is talking about the kingdom, and he's talking about his death. And this is when you think about the disciples, and I have a lot of grace for people, I really do, but sometimes I look at the disciples and I'm like, McFly, are you paying attention to what's going on? Because Jesus is talking about coming into his kingdom, and he's also talking about his death. And these two knuckleheads are so busy thinking about themselves getting power, they've ignored everything else Jesus has said. All they've heard is he's about to come into his kingdom, and I wonder who's going to sit in the two most prominent positions. He's talking about the kingdom, and they saw it as a power move. They didn't want to miss out on what was taking place, and so they want to position themselves to be on the left and on the right. Because in this scenario, it was about dominance and authority. That's why Jesus begins to talk about those in authority. He knows what they're asking about. They're looking at the organizational chart. I don't know if you guys have organizational charts in your workplace. I don't know if you've ever been hired and they handed you an organizational chart to see, here's where the CEO is, here's where the board of trustees is at, here's where these level people are at, here's where the higher ups are at, and here's where you are at right down here. And you find out, okay, I really don't have a ton of authority here, but this is what they wanted. They wanted to be at the top, and so they went through mom and said, listen, when you come into your kingdom, just put us on your left, put us on your right. Those in that day was the most prominent places of authority, especially the right hand. This is why oftentimes you see the right hand mentioned in Scripture, because it's the most powerful position in a kingdom outside of a throne. This is why when Stephen was stoned and became one of the first martyrs of the New Testament church, what does he do? He lifts up his eyes and he gets a vision of heaven, and he says, I see Jesus sitting at the what hand? The right hand of God. It's a position of power. And Jesus is listening to them. Hey, we want power. And Jesus says, listen, you have no idea what you're asking about. You have no clue what you're asking about. And he flips the script. Look at verse 26 again. It's not going to be like this amongst you. Amongst you. I don't know where that came from. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. I wish I had time to break down the difference between what we know as American slavery and what we know in the Old Testament and the New Testament as slavery. Lots of differences, not the same, but it's just not the assignment for today. But Jesus looks at them and says, you're trying to get to elevate it to this position of power, but let me tell you where the power is. Let me tell you where the greatness is. Let me tell you where it's all at. And it's not sitting on a throne or next to a throne. The place of greatness is the place of serving. And know this, that Jesus is not talking about, I'm telling you what, he's not talking about giving up power. He's actually talking about how to utilize power to serve people. See, some of us, you're reading this, well, Jesus is talking about serving. He's talking about being a slave, being a servant to people around you. It means you just got to give up your power. Jesus is not talking about you giving up your power. When I'm talking about your position, your influence, your authority. He's talking about using it to serve people and to lead people to know who he is. And he is calling James and John and all of us to rethink what they're asking. You see, power in the kingdom of God is not about dominating, it's about serving. But most of the time when we get into our charismatic churches, like we're a charismatic church, I would consider us charismatic, but we get in here, sometimes when we think about power, we just talk about power over the devil. We put him underneath our feet and we jump up and down and we dance up and down. We talk about spiritual warfare, and I believe in spiritual warfare. I believe walking in the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. But when it comes to living out in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, some of us want to walk around in domination, and what Jesus is calling us into the place of serving one another. Because when you think about power, position, authority, and influence, the two things I would say is this. Is power a means to get you what you want, or is power a means to serve people and to point them toward Jesus Christ? James and John wanted a place of power, and so what Jesus does is he invites them into something extremely hard. You want what I want, Jesus says. You're going to have to start off as serving, as slave. You got to lower yourself and humiliate yourself, so to speak. Humble yourself and you become like me. And then 7 chapters later in Matthew chapter 27, we get the image of what true power looks like. Matthew chapter 27, verse 29. And twisting a crown of thorns together, the Roman soldiers, put it on his head, and they put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked Jesus, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and took a reed and struck him in the head. And when they mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put on his own clothes and led him away to crucify him. Through their eyes, they had this humiliated, broken individual. And in their eyes, these Roman soldiers had all of the power and Jesus had none. Therefore, they could do what they like, how they like, when they like. And little did they know is on that day when they grabbed the crown of thorns and they thrust it upon his head, bearing deep within his flesh, causing pain and causing suffering, that on that day they thought it was a day of humiliation. But I'm here to say that Matthew chapter 27 was not the day of humiliation. It was a coronation day where Jesus stood as King of all kings. And while they mocked him for the lack of power, Jesus showed true power wearing that crown. Where was the power? It was not stopping their hand. It was by laying down his hands and allowing his hands to be nailed to the cross for you and for me. Because in that moment where we think of the greatest power that we know on this earth, and when you're thinking about what the great powers are, I'm just going to tell you what it is. It's death. Even in that moment, death. You would think, where is the hope? Where is the end? What can we do beyond this? But that's when the king who wore a crown that day showed exactly where his authority is, because he laid down his life to serve humanity once and for all. And he rose 3 days later as if to say that whatever power is upon this earth can't even hold back who is our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. This is who my king is. Philippians gives us a different approach, gives us that approach. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. The time of humiliation. The time where everybody thought he's powerless. They didn't recognize power wasn't stopping their hand. Power was laying down his hand. When they thought that we've got the power to slap him upon that cross, power didn't put him there. Power laid himself down there and gave his life as a ransom for many. And then that, when that happened, when that moment happened, it gave him the name. The scripture says it is above all other names. It's there that kingdom power was exemplified in Christ. It shows us that it's not when we exercise power to prove who we are as a staunch Christian, as that powerful Christian, as that powerful voter. Some of us are looking to flaunt our lives so that we can show people how powerful we are. You want to show people how powerful you are? Do exactly what Jesus did. Take your power, take your position, take your influence, take your authority, and do it to serve the world around you. Because when we die to self, when we use that power for the sake of others, I'm here to say this, oppression is broken, struggle cease, people's lives are restored, marriages are brought back together, welcomed kids, prodigal kids are welcomed home. When we decide to lay down our life and count the cost, that's when we begin to see the kingdom of God established and move. Do you remember what mom asked? I want my boys to be on your left and on your right. Look, Matthew chapter 27, verse 38 gives us an amazing detail. Because in chapter 20, I want my boys on your left and your right. Chapter 27, we get this amazing detail. What's the detail? Is that as Jesus is raised up on the cross, there's somebody that is raised up on his left and on his right. And my guess is, mom was in the audience and said, that's not what I was asking for, Jesus. But I'm here to say this. There are too many people that want to walk in the power of Jesus, but they don't want the cost of following Jesus. So many of us want to walk in the authority of Jesus. Lord, give me the authority to cast out demons. Give me the authority to heal people. Give me the authority to raise people from the dead. We want all of the authority, but we don't want the cost of following Jesus every single day, dying to ourselves, dying to our own wants, looking to serve. We want to exercise the things that look powerful, but if you want to be powerful, then you have to take that authority, that influence, you have to take that position, and you have to use it to point people's lives toward Jesus. See, earthly kings, the way of power was notoriety, recognition, imposing your will. But when we look at our true king, his way was the cross. And I'll ask you the question that he asked so many people is, will you follow me? I'm not saying that as Pastor Dave. But the way of the cross is the question to every single one of us. Jesus says, will you follow me? Will you follow me? Because I'm saying this, how do we follow a king who gave his life for us and live any different than what he showed us? How do we follow a king who gave everything and us hold back anything less? I don't know how we do it. Society defines power simply as this. It's power over others. And it provides distance from humility and convenience and cost. Jesus would define power as serving others and embrace humility, inconvenience, and cost. What do we mean, Pastor, what do you mean by cost? Cost is just simply part of the way of following Jesus because it calls us to the way of the cross. It means that we die to self and we live to serve. We live in a society where we serve self. We're after self. Where we become the center of everything. And if it's not convenient for us, then we get angry. We get mad. If it's not fast enough for us, if the website doesn't go fast enough for us, if the clerk or the store person doesn't go fast enough for us, if the food doesn't arrive fast enough for us, we are at such the center of our universe. And I believe God is calling the American church back to repentance, back to the place where we simply say, we can't be in this world thinking this world serves our country and serves us. We need to be a people that repent and follow follow the way of the cross and simply says, Jesus, the cross, the resurrection must stay at the center of it all. This is the way of the book of Acts. This is the New Testament church, because when they looked at the world, they didn't say, you got to come see us. They went and saw the world, and when they saw a need, they filled the need. When they saw somebody hurting, they restored that person, and they were a people that walked in true power, position, authority, and influence. And it challenges us to look at ourselves and say, when it comes to this world, how do we walk in power? We've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How do we walk in power? And the reality is this. We have to ask ourselves, are we utilizing it to increase the suffering of those around us because of our own demands? Or do we use it to empower people to experience the power of the cross? Pastor Olivia, team, would you join me? We all have power. Every one of us. You've got positions. You've got authority. You've got influence. We've all got that. And the question that our true King, who reigns on high, the one that is considered the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one whose name at the end of time will cause every knee from every nation, every knee that is above the earth and below the earth and in between, to cause them to fall on their knees and confess that he is Lord. This one calls us to this place to question what we're going to do with power. So the two things I'm going to ask you of today is simply this. Number one is the name the power you have. Name the power you have. Look in your life and ask yourself, what are the positions that I'm in? In my marketplace or the workplace or my neighborhood? What position do I hold in my family? Maybe it's a position of friendship. Maybe somebody looks at you and says, man, you're my best friend. You're my closest friend. You're somebody I lean upon. That's a very powerful position to be in. What about authority? Some of you live in authority and you have an authority, maybe in a workplace, maybe you have an authority. I've been cursed with an authority. I'm an HOA president. God help me. Pray for your pastor. Yes, I'm the pastor who gets put liens on people's houses. That's wonderful. What a powerful thing. But y'all have numbers of authority opportunities. You also have influence. Let's be real, from our social media influence to our neighborhoods, to families, the people that message you and text you all the time, you have influence. Name the influences. Some of you have never thought about that. And I say that not so that you can kind of rack it up and kind of get yourselves puffed up. Hey, look at all this power I've got. It's to recognize the opportunity of stewardship in your hand. And secondly, how can you use that power on behalf of others to do exactly what our King challenged us and modeled us to do, is to look to serve them. And if you don't know how to use your power, look at our Lord, Psalms chapter 146, verse 7, who executes justice for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widows and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he will bring to ruin. You want to see how to use your power? Look at what the psalmist says, because God wants to utilize you wherever you go to do just this. That when we see people oppressed, let's free them. When we see people that are broken, let's help heal them. If they're blind, help them to see. If people are broken down, help them to be righteous. If those are widowed and fatherless and they need comfort and family, be the family they need. Use the power the way the King of Kings showed us to use his true power. See, as we look at Jesus, the true prophet, priest, and king, and if there's anything we pull from this series is this, is we are called as believers to speak words of truth. That's week one. Number two, we're called to connect people who are disconnected from God. That was week two. And lastly, as people of the kingdom, we use our power to empower others to discover and to find life in Jesus Christ. I empower you over the next 2 weeks. Now, listen, it doesn't mean you have to wait 2 weeks to invite somebody to the church. Come next week. We're going to have a great service. But we've got an amazing opportunity coming up in 2 weeks as we celebrate the death and the resurrection of our Savior. Friday night is going to be a powerful evening to sit in reflection of the cross, to sit and to look at the tomb, to take in of what took place on that Friday evening. And then Sunday morning, you're going to want to bring every friend, every loved one, every neighbor that doesn't have a church home. Listen, if they got a church home, let them go to their church home. Wish somebody would have amened that one. We don't need to be stealing sheep. Bring people that need a church home. Bring people that have never heard about Jesus. Bring people that have never known the gospel or don't know the true gospel. Utilize. God has put you in their life for such a time as this. That word was given to Queen Esther to show that you have been given power for this moment. You've been given influence, authority, and position for this moment. Don't squander it on yourself. Follow the way of the cross and use it for the glory of Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me? I want to pray over you today as Pastor Olivia leads us into one last song. Jesus, I ask that today that you would give us an understanding of who you are. Lord, for every soul listening right now that has never been in a relationship with you, God, maybe they've never had a glimpse of your love, your care, your presence, God, I pray that this morning that they would just know that what they feel right now, what they're experiencing right now, it's not more than just warm feelings. It's more than just a moment of emotion, God. Your presence is here. And I pray that even at this time that people would turn their lives towards you, putting their faith and their hope in you. And Lord, for all of us in the room, that we would walk in such a way that would recognize that, Lord, anything that's been given to us, it's all from your hands. And whatever we receive, we use for your glory. We don't use to lift up ourselves. We don't use to listen to extol our names and to lift our names up to you. We do to make the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords famous. But Lord, my prayer is that as we reflect on you this week, that we would remember where you've placed us and we would utilize our power, what you have offered to us, in a way that exemplifies who you are, serving the world around us, that people through our lives would taste and see and know the goodness of Jesus Christ. We say that to your name and for your glory, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. King Jesus, you're the one that we lean into, and you're also the example that we follow. And I pray this week that we would just have a vision for how you have positioned us in our community, from the family to the home, to the marketplace, to the workplace, that we would see where we're at not as an accident, but as an opportunity to show the love and the presence and the power of God to people around us. From having a listening ear to having a praying voice, to having hands that will help, or hands that will give, or feet that will lead, whatever way you want to use us this week, King Jesus, you're the one that has all of the authority. Lead and guide our hearts this week. Show us how to live in such a way that shows a life that is crucified toward Christ, so that people can see your goodness and grace that is pursuing them all of the days of their lives. We say to you be the honor and the glory. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, give God a hand clap of praise in the house today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May he turn his countenance towards you and grant you peace. And whatever snow is coming toward Grand Rapids, we just say none over here in the name of Jesus. We're done. I put my stuff away. Have an awesome Sunday. God bless.